From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump, seeing his rising unpopularity, has repeatedly and relentlessly attacked the right to vote, telling his supporters to vote twice, claiming that states sending mail-in ballots to voters who have not requested them amounts to voter fraud, and even going as far as refusing to commit to a peaceful transfer of power. He has threatened to unleash federal lawyers to stop the counting of ballots on election night and told his supporters that his loss automatically means that Democrats have cheated and stolen the election. The U.S. stands on the precipice of a constitutional crisis so large that some have worried it signals the beginning of a second civil war. How to beat a president who doesn't believe in voting or democracy? My guest is Stephen Hill. He is co-founder of Fair Vote, a pioneer in the movement for ranked choice voting, and the author of 7 books, including 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy, Whose Vote Counts, and Fixing Elections, the Failure of America's Winner-Take-All Politics. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
Thank you, Sonali. It's my pleasure.
So, of course, a huge problem in this country is the Electoral College, which is why there's all this focus on swing states and counting ballots in just certain states and why it's going to amount to Pennsylvania and Michigan. We don't have the luxury of wishing away the Electoral College between now and November 3rd. So how do you focus in on what the biggest challenges are going to be as we approach November 3rd, as states already start early voting? Plenty of people are starting to now get their mail-in ballots, and we have a president who's already telling us none of that's going to matter if he loses.
Yes, it's very troubling. I mean, I've been involved in elections for several decades, and I've never been more worried that a president might actually try to steal an election. And there's many tools at the disposal of a president who's determined to do something like this, including just using the courts and using his attorney general, William Barr, to get ballots tossed out and then get into the hands of the Supreme Court, where, as we saw in 2000 in Bush v. Gore, 5 votes beats a reason any day. And so this is very troubling. Now, in a normal election, you just focus on voter turnout and vote by mail can be a tool for higher voter turnout. But in this particular election, I've been really counseling people in battleground states, unless you have a compromised health system, I would recommend putting on your mask and getting in line just like you do at the grocery store to vote. In some battleground states, you can vote ahead of time, early voting. That's really the best way to do it. And that way there aren't as many lines on election day. But other battleground states, it's more difficult. And I really, unless there's good reasons for you not to, I say get in line and vote on election day, because here's the problem that we could run into. For any ballots that are not counted on election day, so vote by mail, absentee ballots, and these sorts of things, we may not see the results from those ballots for several days after the election. It could be a week after the election. It could take a while. And President Trump has a history already of saying, when he sees the absentee ballots going the wrong way, he starts saying, we should just go with the election night vote. And because so many Joe Biden voters are planning to vote and vote by mail, Democratic Party and Democratic allied organizations have been pushing vote by mail now for months as a response to the coronavirus, which is understandable. But Trump is saying, we should instead just count the votes on election night, and all these votes that are lying in piles uncounted, they shouldn't be counted at all. And he actually tried to get this moving forward in Florida in 2018, when there was elections for governor and senator, and they were very, very close elections. And as they counted more and more absentee ballots days after the election, the Democratic candidates were closing the gap. And at that point, Trump started tweeting, just go with election night, just go with election night. And so this is the fear now, is that Trump is going to try and say, I'm the leader on election night. All these uncounted ballots, they're all fraudulent. We need to go with the election night tally, and I'm going to court to make that happen. This is the big fear that many people are having right now.
Isn't he someone who votes absentee?
this is one of the ironies in it, but I mean, you know, look, with Donald Trump, consistency has never mattered. It's all about transactional, what's good for me, what's and bad for you. And let's face it, that's true for the Republican Party in general right now. We saw, everyone by now has seen the videotapes of Lindsey Graham saying in 2016 when they wouldn't even have a hearing on Merrick Garland, the Obama appointee to the Supreme Court, he said, it shouldn't happen with a lame duck president. And mark my words, you can quote it back to me if in 2020 this happens to us. Well, here it is happening to the Republicans, a president in the year, election year, where they are trying to ram through a Supreme Court nominee, and consistency doesn't matter at all for these people. Let's face it.
And one of the ways in which Trump is trying to undermine mail-in balloting is by claiming that ballots that are made out for him are being thrown away. And it seems as though, in conjunction with the Justice Department, he's already laid the groundwork for that. There was a small handful of ballots that were apparently found thrown into the trash, this is what we're being told, in Pennsylvania, that were reported to the Justice Department. Before the investigation could even be completed, the Justice Department started announcing publicly that this had happened, and announcing that the person that those ballots, you know, the presidential candidate that those ballots had named was Trump. Trump already within hours started citing that in interviews to, it seems, very obviously lay the groundwork. I mean, the Justice Department, it was highly unusual for the department to come and comment so prematurely on an investigation like this.
Yes, I mean, we're going to see so many types of dirty tricks like this as they try to discredit ballots, discredit the elections, get it into the courts where they feel like, you know, I mean, look, the Supreme Court, when it has a full nine members, is like a legislature. It's five votes is a majority. And as we've seen in case after case, five votes beats a reason any day. So this is their game plan. I don't think there's any question about it. We could see Bush v. Gore, but in multiple states after November 3, after the election. And we have to be prepared for it. I think one of the things that voters can do is, if you are in a battleground state, if you're in Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, in those states, the election officials, as far as I can tell, and I'm using the website of the National Conference for State Legislatures, which is, you know, a pretty credible website. According to the information that I have, those states will count your vote by mail ballot if you turn it in early, if you drop it off. And so they will count that before Election Day. And so by the time Election Day rolls around, all of those ballots that have been counted before Election Day will be included in the election night vote total. But any other ballots that, if you turn them in at the very last second, is a chance they won't be counted for days after the election. Now, in other states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, New Hampshire, and Iowa, in those battleground states, they do not count your vote by mail ballots ahead of time. They only start counting them on Election Day. And so they may not have them finished by election night, which means when they release those election night tallies, your ballot may not be included. And that is, you know, as I said, when we look at the data, Biden voters are planning to vote by mail 2-1 over Trump voters.
And they know that, which is why they're, of course, casting doubt on vote by mail. If it was the other way around, if turned out Republicans were the ones fully, you know, or more disproportionately planning on voting by mail, Trump would be discounting in-person voting. Who knows, right?
Exactly. There's no shame here. And so in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan in particular, I really am advising people, look, if you can, vote on Election Day, put your mask on,
or before, get in line, if you can.
Or before, if you can. But if they're not going to, some of the, those states don't have early voting, right, as far as I know. So really, the only option is to vote on Election Day, because if you turn in your absentee ballot ahead of time, it won't be counted to Election Day, and it probably won't be included in the election night vote tally.
Right. So this, I mean, is, you know, people challenge. Can wear their hazmat suits and double masks.
I mean, it's
face
really
shields.
It's ridiculous that the act of voting in those states has basically become a heroic act. Your own personal health is compromised, but if you don't do it, the health of our democracy may be compromised, because it's just going to, they're already coining a term for what Trump could happen here. It's called a red mirage, a mirage that Trump is actually leading on election night, when in fact he's not. It's just that there's a whole bunch of ballots that still haven't been counted. So if that red mirage occurs and Trump declares election, declares victory, and then heads to court to try to get it through the court system all the way to the Supreme Court, who knows what could happen with this election? That's the real fear.
And of course, this, you know, the whole voting by mail issue disproportionately affects disabled voters, elderly voters, voters with compromised immune systems, voters of color, people who might have less access to transportation, who might live in counties where, you know, it's harder to just get to the polls, or might be working, because, of course, we force people to vote on a weekday rather than a weekend, or we don't make voting take place on a national holiday. So people who may not be able to afford to spend 5 hours in line to vote because they've got their job to rush to. So all of this disproportionately impacts vulnerable people and dilutes their vote, which is so important. So those who can, who have that privilege of being able to go in person, you're saying they really should try to do that if they can.
Should try. I mean, you know, reality, in the best of elections, in a normal election, vote by mail has always had problems that people should be aware of. And that the problems are basically that voters make mistakes, election officials make mistakes, the Postal Service makes mistakes. So, for example, in the June primary in New York City, this was a Democratic primary, 400,000 people vote by mail, and 82,000 of those ballots were not counted. So over a fifth of those ballots were not counted. And we have tons of data that shows that when the people whose ballots don't get counted vote by mail are disproportionately people of color and young people. In a recent Florida election, the ballots thrown out were 2-1 were people of color compared to white voters. That goes on in a normal election because people make mistakes. You have to sign the back of the envelope that your vote by mail ballot goes in. In Pennsylvania, they make you put it in two envelopes.
Right. And if you don't have the outer envelope, they're calling them naked ballots now, and they might not count those.
Ballots,
there's a
lawsuit
around it.
Some people who live together, spouses, they put, well, we'll put them both in the same envelope. That disqualifies both of your ballots.
Wow.
When you go to the voter's booth and you vote in person, most voting equipment today has a technology called error notification, where it lets you know if you make a mistake on your ballot. And that's a very powerful thing. You know, many of us fought for many years to get that. And now it's kind of all being thrown out by vote by mail, because when you're voting at home, you don't have the benefit of error notification. So, you know,
right.
You
no
have
one's
to
gonna
do...
contact you saying your ballot didn't count. Do you want to fix it and recast it? That doesn't happen if you do vote by mail.
No, it happened, exactly.
There's the issue of some states requiring witness signatures, which, you know, if you're an elderly person living alone, that becomes much harder to do. You know, that also could lead to your vote being discounted. And some people whose votes are not rejected are likely to never even find out that their votes didn't count, right?
Unfortunately, that's true. Yes. So, I mean, basically, you know, we like to think that you can just show up and vote and that's the end of it. But it actually, in a close election like this, where you have a president who is basically saying he's already said several times he may not honor the election results. He's already putting into place the gears of his, you know, political machine. And that includes, as we know, you know, people dressing in camos and armed to the teeth and showing up and intimidating people. We already saw just in a recent Virginia election in early voting, a whole bunch of Trump supporters showing up and trying to intimidate people. So this is what we're dealing with. And unfortunately, we're in a situation where voting has become a heroic act. And so that means we have to do our own research, depending on where you live, find out what the rules are around vote by mail. Is it safe to use that and to drop it off early in the states of Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Colorado, Nevada, and Arizona? It appears that that is a safe strategy to use. In the states of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, New Hampshire, and Iowa, it appears that would not be a safe strategy to use. In those states, you got to show up with your mask in line and vote. I should just emphasize, this is about battleground states. most states are not battleground states. I live in California. We know who's going to win California, New York, many other states. We know who's going to win. So there, you don't have to worry so much about these details. You can mail in your ballot, just do it ahead of time so to make sure it counts. And it's not going to impact the election results or give Trump the red mirage that he's looking for in order to try to go to court. It's just in these battleground states, the close competitive races, and that goes for both Senate, for president and for Senate.
We haven't even talked about the role of Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. One of the things that he's done, in addition to ordering the dismantling of mail sorting machines, is he sent out through the U.S. Postal Service these mass mailers to all voters with instructions on how they can vote. You know, the surface sounds like a great thing. Turns out he didn't actually consult with state election authorities, because there's a different process in every state. And in the state of Colorado, there was a lawsuit against these mailers, restraining order, and then he apologized for it. But, you know, maybe the damage was already done. There might be voters in battleground states who have the wrong information because Louis DeJoy, a Trump donor, sent these mailers out.
Yes, it's just scandalous what's going on in this election. There's just no two ways about it. Other parts of the world are looking at this and just seeing the U.S. has become a banana republic, like we used to talk about, you know, decades ago, the banana republics around the world. We have become a banana republic where we can't really even run an election fairly, except we're a very well-armed banana republic. So, you know, many people around the world are quite worried about what they see going on right now. And we're really going to have to just all, you know, work together and try to make sure this election turns out okay. And we can do that by helping each other out as much as possible.
Now, let's talk about the potential way this could all end up at the Supreme Court. In a way, Trump is counting on that. It seems that his plan is push through a nominee through the Senate, and McConnell and all of the enablers of Trump are going to make sure that happens, so that there is a solidly 5-4 conservative majority, then challenge the results on election night, toss it to the Supreme Court, and his majority, 3 out of those 5 will have been people that he's appointed, will hand him the election. If he cannot actually push through the nominee by November 3rd, and John Roberts decides to take the high ground, we could be at a place, if the election goes to the Supreme Court, with a 4-4 split. So it seems as though the Democrats, if they really want, they should be trying to throw a wrench into the nomination and the confirmation process as much as possible. But they aren't really doing that. There was a memo that The Intercept published, actually it was first published by David Sirota and the Daily Poster, laying out all of these ways in which the Democrats in the Senate, even as a minority party, could delay the Senate confirmation process. And they're choosing to not do that.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's puzzling why they aren't taking these nuclear options, admittedly. But, you know, look, everything is at stake right now. The complete legitimacy of our democracy is at stake. And the other scenario that is real, I mean, it's hard to imagine that this could possibly happen, but this is very real. They're talking about it within Republican Party circles, is that if the popular vote goes against Donald Trump in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan in particular. Those three states have Democratic governors and Republican-controlled state legislatures. And there's a lot of legal debate about whether a state legislature could overlook the popular vote in their state and decide to instead to pick their own slate of electors and send those to the Electoral College to vote for president. You know, the Electoral College originally was designed by the founders of this country in a way in which the state legislature was the primary vehicle for picking the electors in the Electoral College. But over the years, the states have given that off to the popular vote. And there has never been a state that I am aware of in which the in recent years in which the state legislature tried to take this power away from the people. But they are actually talking about doing this if it goes against Donald Trump.
Barton Gellman, writing in The Atlantic, first alerted the public to this potential tactic that the Trump campaign is apparently discussing quite seriously.
And this idea was actually floated in Florida in 2000 as well, but it never went that far. Mm. because instead the recount of the ballots went to the Supreme Court. We got Bush v. Gore, in which the Supreme Court said for 5 votes for, we're stopping the recount. They didn't give a reason. They actually said in their opinion, this should not be used as a precedent for anything in the future. So, I mean, we're in that kind of strange territory that we were in 2000, except I think this could be far worse.
Now, Dan Coats wrote about a nonpartisan election commission ahead of the election to ensure that the integrity of the election is maintained. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, former presidential candidate, of course, twice now, has also endorsed such an approach. This is the kind of thing that we see happening in other countries where, you know, that have a history of election improprieties. Is this something that you think we should seriously consider?
Well, you know, the United States is one of the few countries in the world, especially among established democracies, that really has no national elections commission that oversees these sorts of things in a fair, nonpartisan, objective way. And we have the Federal Elections Commission, we have the Electoral Assistance Commission, and they sort of do a little bit here and there, but it's really not a full, robust elections commission. So we've always needed this kind of presence. And you'd think after 2000, we would have come up with that, and some of us tried pushing that idea, didn't get very far. So, I mean, now they're coming in kind of late, trying to push something like this again. And sure, if we can move it forward, we need it. We need it badly. We've needed it for many years.
So finally, Stephen, in terms of what you hope to see at the election level between now and November 3rd, aside from the strategy that you laid out for how people should vote, are there efforts that you recommend people engage in terms of helping register voters if they haven't yet passed their registration deadlines, the whole, you know, just engaging and get out the vote efforts? Because, of course, the more people that vote, the better one imagines the election could be, no matter what, right? Maximizing voter turnout is always good for democracy. In this case, it could also be another bulwark against Trump stealing the election.
Absolutely. You know, at this point, most of the people who always vote, they're already activated. It's the people who are less inclined to vote.
And they can be reached, voters, yeah.
First-time voters, they can be reached often by personal conversations. So I encourage people, go and talk to your friends, especially young people, communities of color. Start the conversations now. Yes, people are disappointed with political leaders because of George Floyd and the many, many horrors that we've seen this past year. But it could get far worse. This is not a time to be complacent or to say, oh, there's no difference between the two in my view. We could have that conversation another day about what the Democrats should be doing. And I have many, many views and written books about this and what Democrats should be doing to make our society more progressive and create a more, broadly shared prosperity for all. But right now, there is so much at stake. It could be democracy itself. If Donald Trump is able to steal this election, we may never get our democracy back again. I really fear that much more this year than any time in my life. Talk to your friends, talk to your family members, get them to vote first of all, get them registered. The deadlines for registering to vote are approaching very quickly, and then help them to understand what's at stake in this election.
Right. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders said this isn't a vote between Trump and Biden as much as it is a vote between Trump and democracy. Thank you so much, Stephen Hill, for joining us. Give out the website for Fair Vote.
A Fair Vote's website is www.fairvote.org.
We link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Stephen, for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day there.
My guest has been Stephen Hill, co-founder of Fair Vote, pioneer in the movement for ranked choice voting. He's the author of 7 books, including 10 Steps to Repair American Democracy, Whose Vote Counts, and Fixing Elections, The Failure of America's Winner-Take-All Politics. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.